Welcome to another Week in Review. It wasn't just the big names, but everybody on the 25-man roster who helped in four wins last week. Dave Van Horn and Glenn Geffner hit the highlights as always. I'm Boomer Dangle. It's a pleasure to join you, and here we go. It's been over a month now since the Marlins started a pretty brilliant run of baseball. Since April 24th, the team has 21 wins and 13 losses. How have they done it? It seems like most Marlins have the same thought.
We've been having a great time. Everyone's contributing, too. That's the best part of it.
The whole team is contributing.
Like, I think everybody just we got a good energy today, and everybody contributing.
I just think we're a team.
Well, as cliche as it is, last week everybody truly did contribute as a wave of injuries attacked the team all at the same time. Christian Yelich sat with a back injury, Giancarlo Stanton with a nagging side, but Brian Morris took the worst news of all with a herniated lumbar disc forcing him onto the disabled list. Playing without Yelich and Stanton is not totally uncommon for the Marlins. Christian battled with his back missing time in 2014 and 15, and Giancarlo finished each of the past two seasons on the DL. Ever since the Marlins called up Cole Gillespie the last week of April, the team has carried five outfielders. The other player not in the everyday lineup, of course, Ichiro. Six for his last eight, Ichiro stayed in the lineup to start the week against Tampa Bay.
There's a soft liner towards right center, and in for a hit. Ichiro is three for three. Rojas scores. It's 5-3 Marlins. The second baseman Beckham drifted out there into short right center field, trying desperately to reach that baseball, but he just couldn't get it.
That was part of a stretch for Ichiro where he went 10 for 13 at the plate. Specifically, he had four hits in one game, two in the next, and four more last Monday. He did some work in the past 10 days. He's now just 39 hits away from his 3,000th. Ichiro appeared in 153 games last year, partially because of that injury to Giancarlo. If everybody's healthy from here on out, though, Ichiro will come in mostly in pinch-hitting spots.
That's what
I'm here for, you know, I guess I'm always trying to be the best fourth outfielder that I can, and I was able to get that opportunity.
That's Ichiro with the help of his interpreter, Alan Turner. On Monday, his RBI and runs scored added to a heavy run column for the Marlins. But it was the other outfielder, as a pinch hitter, who started a productive week.
The 1-0. Drive to right, down the line. Racing back Souza. He's going to make the catch in the corner, but tagging from third, Rojas, he's going to score. We're tied at six. So Gillespie gets the man in, and now Ichiro looking to give the Marlins the lead.
That was Gillespie's first RBI of 2016.
Trying to stay loose throughout the course of the game. You don't want to do too much, but you definitely want to get yourself ready to go when your name's going to be called, because sometimes you don't know exactly when that situation is going to be. With the lefty coming in, I felt like, you know, that was kind of an opportunity for me to get that bat there. And I knew the situation there with the guy on third, less than two, I was just trying to get a pitch out the drive and was able to get that pitch.
Tuesday, the Rays clipped the Fish by a final score of 4-3. Then on Wednesday, in his first start of the season, Gillespie took his turn again.
JT runs well. He's at second with one out. The pitch, ground ball, fair inside the bag at first, down the right field line. Gillespie's come through again. Racing home, Real Muto. He's in there ahead of the throw, and the Marlins take a 4-3 lead in the top of the eighth. Cole Gillespie, his second hit of the night, his second hit of the season. And this one puts Miami in front.
Both outfielders in place of Stanton and Yelich helped in the week's first two wins.
I mean, I saw him in spring training, but it's, you know, there's always talent on the field, but then you got to put it together as a team. And I think when I got up, when we were playing the Brewers, that we were just coming off of a nice road trip against the Dodgers and won, I think, 10 consecutive games on the road. And I think it's at that point that guys on the team started to truly believe how good we're capable of being. I think as a younger player, getting into the big leagues at 25, I still kind of figure myself out as a player, who I was and what I'm capable of doing. I think at the time I was just more excited to be there, you know, seeing a lot of guys that you've idled and watched growing up on TV play, and then you get a chance to play with, and it was a little different at first, but obviously as time goes on and the more experience you get, the more at-bats you get, I'm starting to believe, you know, that I'm supposed to be here and I can help the team win, and, you know, get an opportunity tonight to get in the starting lineup for the first time. I think that'll be big to get some consistent at-bats.
How about Kyle Bearclaw? He started the season in the minor leagues. Now 2 months through the MLB calendar, Claw's appeared in 22 games, third most on the team. His fastball gets into the upper 90s, but Bearclaw made mention just after his call-up that one of his biggest improvements was his changeup.
I've, you know, become more and more comfortable with it as the season's gone on. I'm going to try and work it more in now to righties, now to establish, you know, slider and stuff like that. So I'm going to start working on it more. You know, I want to throw it enough to where people have to respect it, but not enough to where I'm overusing it or getting away from my fastball instead of throwing changeups.
Bearclaw's carried his weight, too. He's only allowed runs in 3 of 22 outings. Wednesday, Bearclaw registered the win, and the Marlins took Game 3 of the Citrus Series 4-3 over the Rays. Now one of the biggest names on the team is pitching as well as he ever has. Jose Fernandez threw Thursday seeking his 6th straight win, but he also sought his first victory in Tampa Bay, the same city he graduated high school and attended his first MLB game.
I was always ready to come back here. It's the first ballpark that I ever went to, you know, when I got to America. So it's a special place, and, you know, the fact that, you know, when I'm playing and, you know, I'm pitching here, it was just a dream, you know, when I got here. So I remember coming to the game, and I walked in, I was shocked. I'd never seen any stadium like this. So I was watching a game from the third base dugout right behind it, and it was a very cool experience. And I've never been to a big league game. I watched a lot, but actually going to a game and watching the game, and that was the first time.
He got beat up in his first two games at the Trop, but this time around, he allowed one earned, and that was it.
The 3-2, swing and a miss. Jose strikes out the side in the 7th. He punches out 12 on what has been a terrific homecoming for Jose Fernandez. He's through 7 with a 5-1 lead.
Thursday afternoon a game, the lineup lacked Yelich and Stanton. In a week where hitters got shuffled around, Adany Echevarria hit leadoff for just the third time in the last two seasons.
I think he's had good at-bats. I'm from the place that Etch just needs to stay positive and keep everything in the present, not get down after every at-bat. Like I said, I thought that the series at home, he swung the bat good against the Rays. He got a couple of big hits for us. He's not going to get a hit every time up, and I think he needs to realize that. So, but he's a guy that can hit, and he's got a good swing. So I think he's capable of, you know, what he did last year. I don't think it's a fluke.
Etch didn't shy away from the chance.
Here's a high fly ball down the left field line off the bat of Adany Echevarria, and it is up, up and away, a home run for Etch. A two-run home run and a 3-0 Marlins lead here in the second.
Jose's 7 innings set the tone, but fitting with the theme, the entire lineup contributed runs. Etch, Gillespie, Chris Johnson, Derek Dietrich, and Miguel Rojas all brought in runners. While we're on Thursday's game, Chris Johnson deserves some love. He hit a home run and drove in 3.
Another 1-2 pitch, and Johnson hits one high in the air, deep to left. Back goes Dickerson at the wall. Goodbye, Chris Johnson, with the Marlins' 2nd home run of the afternoon, and it's 5-0 in the 3rd.
And that's not to say Ozuna didn't do his part last week.
Final night of the 2011 season to beat the Yankees and put the Rays into the playoffs. Now Ozuna ground ball through the right side. That's a hit. Prado scores. Bohr coming home. And Marcell Ozuna with a 2-run single. It's 3-1 Marlins in the 3rd. And Ozuna just rolls on and on and on.
He's reached base now in 36 consecutive games and recorded the best batting average in May of any National Leaguer since Yasiel Puig 3 years ago. His overall average is at .344, but take a look at his numbers against the lefties, and he's close to a .500 batting average versus southpaws. The struggles against Atlanta continued Friday and Saturday. In a division where 4 teams play with winning records, the Braves are 3-3 versus the Phillies and 5-1 over the Marlins. Though the team won the series finale, it came at a cost and another injury. Miami won its first game against Atlanta by a final score of 7-3. But in the 9th inning, a foul line drive flew into the dugout and hit Derek Dietrich. That was an unceremonious end to a huge day for the second baseman.
Here's the 0-1 pitch. And a ball pulled foul down the right field line. Let's see if there's a play here. Is it going to stay fair? It's going to stay fair. It's up, up, and away, and a home run for Derek Dietrich. Just wrapped it around that foul pole. A fair ball down the right field line, and 2 runs just like that. 1 swing of the bat, and a 3-1 Marlins lead.
Diet went 3-for-3 with 4 runs batted in, and though he feels like an everyday player at this point, remember, Dietrich is already filling in as the everyday second baseman. He stayed down for a few minutes after the ball caught him in the back of the head after it ricocheted off a dugout wall. X-rays Sunday night in Atlanta turned out negative. Not to be forgotten in this ball game, Tom Kohler pitched his best game and earned his first win in over a month.
Yeah, I just tried to make pitches down in the zone, hit some ground balls. I mean, I don't know how many ground balls I got today, but the defense played really good behind me the whole time. Yelich made some great plays, and we really made sure we tested him out there right away. Let's see if he remembered his gold glove, and he did. And, you know, it was a big team win.
Of course, TK didn't get all those ground balls alone. Jeff Mathis called the game from behind the dish. Giancarlo hasn't played since Tuesday. Sunday in Atlanta, Mattingly addressed G's persistent discomfort.
Well, we've had 2 days in a row in the cage, and it, you know, more intensity yesterday, and so we'll see out here today. And I think it's just encouraging from the standpoint that we're getting to that point. So it's kind of like Yelly for me. His progression was nothing, a little T, hits on the field, gets the pinch hit a day or two, and now we feel like he's ready. He feels like he's ready to go. Hopefully, Giancarlo's in the same boat, that we're, you know, a progression of getting better, swinging more, swinging harder, taking BP, and then, you know, we'll see where we're at after that.
We're still waiting to check on Dietrich and Stanton. Keep up with @MarlinsRadio on Twitter and tune into Marlins on Deck presented by Geico for a full report on both. Christian Yelich, meanwhile, re-entered the lineup in Atlanta. He went 1-for-6 in the series. With the win in Game 3 against Atlanta, Miami pulls even with Philadelphia in the NL East standings with 26 wins and 24 losses, exactly 3 games behind the Nationals and the Mets in the loss column. 2 series at home take us through the next 7 games. Pittsburgh plays 4, and then the Mets play 3 on the field at Marlins Park. Take a look at the schedule and plan your games to attend at Marlins.com. With the Marlins in Miami all week, it provides the chance to learn more about the team. What did you like to know from the Marlins clubhouse? Tweet using the #MarlinsRewind, and we'll round up as many responses as we can. Their answers, more highlights, and clubhouse sound next time on the Week in Review. In the meantime, subscribe to the Marlins podcast page and catch the fish with our daily rewind, or listen to every game on 940 Wins and the Marlins Radio Network.